Something I was thinking about this week, which probably seems really weird, but as I was spending time in preparation, at least, I started to think about doors. It's not something we think about a lot, but doors are important. I mean, to get anywhere, you need to go through a door. My guess is you left through a door to come to church this morning. Maybe it was the garage door. Maybe it was your front door or a side door. Since you're in the room right now, you not only went through one door, but you had to go through two doors to get in here. No matter how you come in, you had to come through at least two doors to be in this room right now. As you know, doors make it possible for us to enter and exit a room. It is a human portal. It locks out those who are not welcome, and it also grants entry to those who are. It protects inhabitants, and the door can only be opened by another. I mean, door has no ability on its own. Even automatic doors have to be programmed to open by a human. But to accomplish this, it always needs the help of someone else. And we've been using doors a very, very long time. Matter of fact, I was so curious about this, I was looking up old doors. And the one on the left, which I put an outline around, was discovered a number of years ago in Switzerland, and it is believed to be the oldest door in Europe. It was found while they were trying to build a parking garage, and they found, obviously, archaeological remains, and they examined it, and it was made of poplar wood. It was a door. It still had its hinges, and it was made sometime around 3000 BC, about the time Stonehenge was built. Can you believe that? Now, a little bit newer, I was curious about the oldest church doors that are still in existence. And the oldest church doors, believe it or not, I mean, no big surprise, comes from Rome. And this is a church called St. Sabina. And outside this basilica, it's outside of Rome, but this basilica still has doors that were constructed when the building was constructed in 430 AD. So the doors you see, it's actually a panel of doors, are still intact and still used today, which is really amazing. But you also know when a door isn't used as an entry, it's used like a wall. It keeps others out. It may not be the strongest part of the wall, but it is a barrier nonetheless. So we see that doors can either allow entry or prevent entry. So we're going to take some time to take a tour of God's house, the church, over the next several weeks. And we're going to look at our core values. We do this every year. And we need to begin, really, at the front door, because that is the place of hospitality, which is one of our core values. A place of welcome. A place of reception. When somebody comes through, they have to come in through, we don't always use the front door, maybe the side door or the back door, but they have to come through a door. It's either that or we lock the doors. See, there's no middle ground. It's either a place of welcome or it is not. There's no kind of welcome or kind of hospitality. It either is or it isn't. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, when someone comes a-knocking, they're either warmly received or they're not. I mean, I know what it feels like to when somebody opens the door and they're happy to see me, and I also know what happens when they open the door and they're not happy to see me. There's no middle ground on that. I mean, I don't know about you, but even at home, when someone knocks on the door or the doorbell rings and I was expecting company, well, that's a pleasant thing because I'm ready to welcome them in. But lo and behold, when somebody knocks on the door and I was not expecting company, the first thing that crops into my mind is, who is it? And not in a, who is it, in a pleasant sort of way. Who's ringing my doorbell or knocking on my door so that I can lovingly welcome them in my house? It's more like, who is it and who's disrupting my quiet day by knocking on my door? I know that some of you love to have unexpected visitors, but we're quiet people, aren't we? And when people knock on the door and they're unexpected, we're not so happy about it. There's no middle ground. You either want them here or you don't want them here. And it's my attitude that gets in the way of hospitality. It's my attitude that at home I want the door to remain locked and serve more like a wall than an entry for someone else, unless I'm expecting them. Now, of course, Jesus will have none of this from me, right? I mean, I'm thinking about doors, and I'm thinking about the way I like to keep my doors locked and keep people out, and this verse pops into my head, and Jesus is like, that is not the attitude you need to have. And I was reminded when I saw this in Revelation, here I am, I stand at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. See, Jesus doesn't want that attitude from me. He says, just open the door and welcome people. And I know when you hear this, you go, well, of course. If Jesus knocked on my door and I wasn't expecting him, of course I would welcome him in. Of course I'd be happy to see him, even though he did not schedule a time to come to the house. I would gladly give him whatever he wanted out of my fridge and out of my car. I would make the best meal so that we could eat together. For whatever I had, I would cobble it together and give him the best. I mean, I think all of us are that way, right? I mean, Jesus is totally welcome at our house any hour of the day. 2 a.m., come on in. Even if he's being metaphorical. If he's knocking on the door of my heart, well, come on in. I mean, you don't have to knock, Jesus. Mi casa, su casa. I've already welcomed you into my life, so come into my home. But there's more to it than that. It's that when Jesus said that, he was talking to a church. He was talking to members of a church. Matter of fact, he was talking to this church that was a well-to-do church. It was richer than most churches. And he pointed out to them that faith wasn't their primary priority. Sure, they went to church. That wasn't a problem. They'd never abandoned Christ. It was just that faith was no more important than the other things that they had to do during the week. Matter of fact, Jesus uses a term as he's talking to this church and this group of people. He calls them lukewarm. He calls them out. He says, you're middle-of-the-road Christians. You don't disregard Christ, but he certainly isn't your everything either. And then he names the problem. He says, here's the issue. He says, you're too self-sufficient. You're too comfortable because of your wealth. Now, here's the interesting part of that. He wasn't saying that having money was bad, but he was saying that affluence had become a barrier to commitment. So Jesus says to them, after kind of saying, this is the issue, he says, I'm knocking at the door. I'm trying to get your attention because I love you. So welcome me in. So you process that and you go, well, that's an uncomfortable conversation. You know, if you already think you've welcomed Jesus in and Jesus says, I'm knocking, will you let me in? You kind of go, what have I been doing wrong? But here's the point. Hospitality begins for the Christian when we welcome Jesus into our hearts and into our homes and into our churches. And I know some of you might be thinking, well, if it is already Christ's church, how can you welcome him in to his own church, into his own house? Isn't it he who welcomes us? This makes no sense. But then we are reminded in Revelation when Jesus talks about this, he says, we have the capacity to lock Jesus out of his own building. It's easy to get caught up in things that aren't really about Jesus in church and at home and in other places. We convince ourselves that we got to use the latest management tools and we got an agenda and we got to do this and we got to do that, and that's what the church does. And we forget about Jesus and all of that. Or I want things my way, which may not be Jesus' way. It happens. So how do we welcome Jesus? That's the really question. Actually, he tells us, not in Revelation, but in a different part of his teaching during his ministry, he actually says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Now, here's the rub on this. It's not totally about children either. It is and it isn't. It's a part of a group of people. It is about the least significant person in the room. Because children back then had no rights and no standing. So Jesus was using him or her as an object lesson. But he's really saying is, if you want to welcome me, you need to welcome the stranger. If you want to welcome me, welcome the one who is easily overlooked in a room full of friends. Oh, there we have it. The one that gets passed by. Now, German pastor and professor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he reminds us why this is important. It's a little heady, but we're already at 11:20 in the morning, so you should be fully awake for some deep stuff, okay? Either that or it's time to close your eyes, one of the two. So if you want to go deep, here it is. This is it. Pastor Bonhoeffer says, Jesus stands between us and God. And for that very reason, he stands between us and all other people and things. Christ is the mediator, not only between God and humanity, but between human and human, between people and reality. Since the whole world was created through him and unto him, he is the sole mediator of the world. I mean, that's a deep way of saying Jesus is the go-between. That's what a mediator does, a one who stands in the middle and connects people and things and God, and Jesus stands between us and each other, not as a barrier, but as a door, as an entryway. So when we take the time to greet individuals, to welcome a new face, guess who we're also welcoming into the church? Jesus. And he stands in the middle wanting to connect us to others. Now, and if we don't do that, guess who we are not welcoming? And it goes both ways. And I gotta tell you, when I think about this, I give people who are out church shopping, for lack of a better word, a lot of credit. That's an intimidating thing. I mean, you're saying, okay, I'm going to go interact with a group of people, and I have a general idea what church does on a Sunday morning. So I'm going to go, but you don't know what you're going to find. I mean, when you arrive as an outsider, I mean, you don't know once you get in there if the people are weird. Well, they know we're weird, right? I mean, here we are. But is it their kind of weird? You don't want to go into a church and have people overshare. That's uncomfortable. But you don't want to be ignored either. People have the strength to come to a church for the first time. I give them all the credit. I mean, when you go, you don't want to share your entire life story with someone, but it would be nice to have a casual conversation. For some, it's like, I want a safe place for my kids to learn about Jesus. I don't want them indoctrinated or manipulated. I just want them to learn who Jesus is and what Jesus is about. A safe place. You come to a church for the first time, you want to be relaxed, but you're also on guard as you come through that door because you don't know, is anybody going to talk to me? And of course, our doors are unlocked every Sunday morning for anyone to come to worship. But if we don't extend hospitality, the doors might as well be locked because the result will be the same. People will come once and never come again. So what did we hear today in the gospel lesson? You remember? On that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked, for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came among them and said, "Peace be with you." They weren't welcoming anybody. They were hiding out. They didn't want visitors. It was like them against the world. This was the last stand. They were circling the wagons. They weren't going out, and no one was coming in. And Jesus just shows up. That's the cool thing about the resurrected Jesus. He just shows up. He shows up. Can you imagine this? They're huddled. They're scared. They don't know what's going to happen next. Jesus shows up, and he says, "Guys, why are the doors still locked? Oh, you think I'm still dead? Got it. Got it. Okay. Enough of the anxiety. Peace be with you. I mean, you think it's a non sequitur when he shows up and says, peace be. He's telling them that for a reason, because they're all worked up. They have locked the doors. Jesus shows up not so that they can keep Jesus to themselves, like a club, like a small social network. But Jesus shows up and says, no, we're gonna change all this. I'm showing up to calm your hearts. Peace be with you. Because they didn't have peace at that moment, so that they could gather themselves. To see that the resurrection was real, so that they could then unlock the doors and share this joy of a living God with others. That's what was going on there. See, hospitality, as I said, is one of our core values, and I know we try to live that out. I've seen it in action. But we can never check something off our list like, oh yeah, no, I greeted a guest once, we're done, we've covered that, you know, on to the next thing. So we come back to these things to talk about them so that we can keep it in the forefront of our minds when the opportunity comes next to welcome and to greet. Because once we've been welcomed, then it falls to us to welcome others. It's kind of like when someone holds the door for us when you go in somewhere and someone's behind you, what do? Well, hopefully you stand and then hold the door for the next person. Well, that's kind of the thing, is once we've been welcomed, it falls to us to welcome someone else. And I know that sometimes there's this feeling that on a Sunday morning, we're passive participants. We're coming to do church, but really it's music and it's pastor and it's, you know, deacons. But we're just past. We got to get that out of our head. We've been asked to engage in different ways, even when we come here on a Sunday morning. I'm hoping most of you realize that last Sunday was Easter Sunday. We had a bunch of people here. And I saw some of the most amazing things. I mean, first of all, the sanctuary was beautiful. Thank you, Liz, for helping get all that set up like that. One of the things that amazed me was I actually saw a family that we only see at Christmas. They just upped their worshiping 100%. And I don't mean that in a judgy way. Like, I've seen them every Christmas that I've been here, and I've never seen them throughout the year, and they showed up on Easter, and all of a sudden, now they've doubled their worship attendance. And when they left here, they were moved. They were touched. They were talking to people. They were welcomed once again. But it wasn't just them. There was a joy of being together in Christ's name that it would stretch beyond really our church family. I mean, I see all of you and I say, you're the church family. Because you're the people who are here the Sunday after Easter. You're the people who are here the Sunday after Christmas. You're here on 4th of July weekend. But that joy was beyond us. It was bigger than us. And we extended it to others because some of you actually had to sit somewhere else because someone you didn't know sat in your spot. And there was so much joy, you didn't even say anything. Thank you but for not doing that. People talking before and after services, eating breakfast, joy because Christ was with us and that he was welcomed into this room through the hospitality that we shared with others. We put our best foot forward. And here's the thing that I learned as a practical matter. I don't know what study it was, but I've read this so many times. I believe it's true. I can't point to a source. But those who study such things say that people make a decision, they make up their minds whether or not they'd ever come back to visiting a church a second time within 10 minutes of showing up on a campus. So the clock starts ticking the first time someone parks in the parking lot. And if they show up a little early, think about this, if they show up a little bit early, before they hear the first note of music, before they hear the first words of an awesome sermon, okay, I added that part, before pretty much anything happens of any kind of what I'm here for. Most first-time guests have already made up their mind whether or not they're coming back. A lot of that has to do with the way the building looks and how they're treated as they come through the front door. It's a spot, whether it's that door or not, but it's the spot where Christ once welcomed us through someone else. And we were told that this was a good and safe place, and so we stayed. So then it falls to us to do the same for others, to welcome them. But beware. I mean, there's a warning with this. Just beware. Because when we do this, when we live into our very own core value that we actually name, this is important to us. When we do that, you got to beware that when we welcome others, Jesus slips in too. And that when we greet someone with a smile, we're also greeting Jesus. So don't forget to say hi to him too. Amen. We're going to sing that beautiful song again.
Yeah, let's stand and sing No Outsiders.
Yeah, and this is the one we sang right as worship began, and this is what it's about.
To Your cross is the open door. There are no outsiders. I'm not an outsider. No, there are no outsiders. I'm not an outsider.